Well, amen. Praise the Lord for that special tonight as well. If you have your Bibles tonight, go ahead and look with me to the book of 2 Chronicles in chapter 30. 2 Chronicles chapter 30 on Wednesday nights. We've been going through and preaching and teaching on the life of King Hezekiah. Just one of the most notable of all the kings outside of possibly King David and maybe King Solomon. But King Hezekiah was directed by God from being raised not but with the influence of his father, who was an evil king, but who had the influence, we believe, of his mom and others around him, that he decided to serve God at an early age. When he began king, when he began to become king, then he yielded himself and wanted to do that which was right in the eyes of the Lord. And so we've been studying all the things that he was able to do. And in just the right time, because Judah would have been taken into Assyrian captivity, like the northern tribes would be carried into Assyrian captivity. But Hezekiah made a difference, definitely made a difference. And what made the difference was how he led Israel to turn back to God. And the Bible records exactly what he did and how he was able to get Israel to turn back to God and restore the blessings of God upon Judah. And the very same things he did is what we need to do today, and what we need to do individually, what we need to do as a church, what we need to do as a country, as a people. And God is there. The one thing that is the very same that took place back in Hezekiah's day was that God was on the throne watching what was taking place. And whether we acknowledge it or not, our very same God is on the throne watching what's taking place. And as he is always making himself available, we have to turn to him. We have to seek him. And Hezekiah was able to get the nation of Judah to have to seek the Lord. And last week we studied, there was great joy in the people following Hezekiah's commands and Hezekiah's direction. They were returning to God by way of returning to his law. That's how you need to do it. You have to stop trying to serve God by what you think, and you need to start looking to serve God by what God says. And that's most important there is God is not our genie, and he is Almighty God, who, if we want his blessings, he reveals to us how we can have his blessings. And so we find that they were returning back to God by way of returning to the law, and returning to the laws that was established by Moses. Then they would have to reinstate the observance of all the ordinances. And the most important one was that of Passover. And so we've already studied a lot about what took place there. But in returning to the law of God and reinstating the observance of Passover, what we studied last week or the last message was they found great joy. And that's righteousness leads to great joy. Sin leads to death. Turning away from God leads to death. Turning to God leads to joy. And that's what was taking place. Well, this evening we're going to be starting to read on verse 23. Go ahead and stand with me. 2 Chronicles chapter 30 and verse 23. Because they kept the Passover, but they wanted more. They wanted more than just that week of Passover, so there was the option of 2 weeks of Passover. And we find here, verse 23, we'll read down to chapter 31, verse 1. And the whole assembly took counsel to keep other 7 days. And they kept other 7 days with gladness. For Hezekiah, king of Judah, did give to the congregation 1,000 bullocks and 7,000 sheep. And the princes gave to the congregation 1,000 bullocks and 10,000 sheep. And a great number of priests sanctified themselves. And all the congregation of Judah with the priests and the Levites and all the congregation that came out of Israel and the strangers that came out of the land of Israel and that dwelt in Judah rejoiced. So there was great joy in Jerusalem, for since the time of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, there was not the like in Jerusalem. And then the priests and the Levites arose and blessed the people, and their voice was heard, and their prayer come up to his holy dwelling place, even unto heaven. Now verse 1, chapter 31. Now when all this was finished, all Israel that were present went out to the cities of Judah and brake the images in pieces and cut down the groves and threw down the high places and the altars out of all Judah and Benjamin and Ephraim, so also in Manasseh, until they had utterly destroyed them all. Then all the children of Israel returned, every man to his possessions and to their own cities. And let's pray. Father, we come before you again, and we love you. Thank you for the opportunity to assemble on this midweek. And Lord, there's no doubt everyone's battling their own battles, but yet those that are here took advantage of the opportunity to be here. And God, we're a needy people. As we have assembled here tonight, we need what you have for us. And so I thank you for what we've already received. But Lord, as we've opened up the Bible and we've read this passage, and you would have us to understand and make some applications from this truth. So I pray that you'd empower the teaching and the preaching of thy word once again. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You may be seated. So basically, we find that Judah, the nation of Judah, the kingdom of Judah, and just a few of those that, as we studied last week as well, that came down from the northern tribes, as most of them laughed at Judah, thinking what they were doing was not going to help do anything. And they were pretty much all settled into being taken into Assyrian captivity. And so they laughed at Hezekiah's direction for the Judah. So some of those did come down, and others around the city, but mainly it was Judah who had looked to Hezekiah for the king that had experienced 2 weeks of revival. After the first week, they was so glad and rejoicing and that they decided a second week. And Hezekiah made that possible by providing the sacrifices that they would need to be sacrificing to continue this another week, if you will, another week of revival. But they did this because after this 2 weeks, they desired a closer walk with God. Can I tell you, the more time you spend with God, sincerely with God, the more time you'll want to spend with God? Verse 26, after verse 23, saying that they took the second week and they did it with gladness. Down to verse 26, it says this: so there was great joy after 2 weeks of this. There was great joy in Jerusalem, for since the time of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, there was not the like in Jerusalem. So we find here in verse 26, the Bible records for us that this, it took them back to their glory days. Took them back. Now, since the glory days, all these things that they had to destroy in Judah had cropped up. In chapter 31, verse 1, they break the images in pieces. So there's images all over the cities of Judah. Cut down the groves. So there was groves all over the cities in Judah. These are all Balaam, worshipers of Balaam with these groves. And they threw down the high places and the altars. All these things have been built. All these things have cropped up in Judah. And that's why God was going to judge Judah. And so now we find in Benjamin, Ephraim, also in Manasseh, until they utterly destroyed them all. Now they would do this afterwards, but before this, they were in society. They were part of Judah. Part of what Hezekiah was revealing to them that would have to go. But before they even realized it, before they was ready to destroy all that, they had to spend time with God. And when they spent the time with God, the 2 weeks in revival, if you will, with the Lord, they had a greater desire to spend more time with God, because it took them back to the glory days. I don't know if they even realized that that was the glory days. We look back now and we think, well, that was the glory days. Yeah. In my life, I thought about this as I was preparing. What would be the glory days? And in my lifetime, I think I would acknowledge the glory days under President Ronald Reagan for the United States of America. Our 40th president, elected as president in 1980, served two terms from 1980 to 1988. He was a Bible-believing, Bible-supporting president. Bible-believing, he quoted the Bible often. He asked for prayer often. He directed the nation to prayer often. He supported the moral majority. And some of us can remember the moral majority. I mean, we started this church in 1985 in the middle of this. And it was great days. Meeting in that upper room and God meeting with us and having the freedoms, going door to door and people not shutting the door in your face as much and listening to what you have to say. Because it wasn't against society to claim to be a Christian. There wasn't a question whether or not that the United States was a Christian nation for the majority. The minority, even back then, tried to get it turned a different way, but the president was supporting moral majority. The president was supporting the Bible. The president was actually presenting biblical truths and turning back to God in prayer. I'm just telling you my experience. I'm sure in every century there has been glory days. In the United States, glory days. But in my life, and I think if you would think back to where we are now, didn't even realize that was the glory days until we experienced what we're experiencing today. And Christianity being the most persecuted religions in America. And yet it was Christianity that gave all the other religions to the freedom of religion in America. So we find here a lot of similarities in Judah, Old Testament Judah, and New Testament United States. And so we find here they had revival, and under revival they desired to continue, and they realized if they were going to continue that things had to change. How many believe if we continue to do the same things over and over that that will change things? Now, if you're going to change things, you have to change things. Now, go down to chapter 31, verse 1. Now, when all this was finished, all the revival and their praising God, look back to the glory days, all Israel that were present went out to the cities and break the images in pieces. They didn't see a need to do that before. They saw things differently when they were back into their own cities. In all the cities, there was the influence of Baal. In all the cities, there were influences of anti-God. And so when they went back into the cities after spending time with God, they were able to realize, wait a minute, if we're wanting a change, then we have to change. And they break the images in pieces. And they cut down the groves and threw down the high places and the altars out of Judah. Wow. If we want a closer walk with God than what we have now, change is necessary. If you continue to do the same things that you're doing right now in regards to your relationship with God, your fellowship with God, your walk with God, don't expect for it to change. I often say you are where you are and where you want to be in your relationship with God. God has done everything in his power and still giving us a free will for us to walk as close to him as we want to walk. He's done his part. So if I'm not walking as close to God as I want to walk and God has done his part, then what is there left? My part. Yeah. Change is necessary. Change is things added or things taken away. Or possibly both. It's a blessing to me when we have winter camps and or summer camps and winter camps as well, but we take our young people to camp and we get rid of all their phones, get rid of all their music, and get rid of all the influences in their life of the world, and we get them in a secured environment for a full week. And it's amazing what just being in a controlled environment for 1 week away from the world environment into a camp environment where the preaching in the morning, preaching in the afternoon, godly activities and games and godly singing and fellowship, all that, what it will do in young people making decisions to serve the Lord. What is that? Same thing as what happened in Judah. Once they experience the presence of God, and they experience the joy that the presence of God brings, we want more. We want more. But then if we get out of that environment, sad to say, but a lot of them go back to the very same influences, and because the very same influences start doing the very same things all over again because they didn't change what they were doing. Things added or taken away or possibly both are necessary. More Bible study, more prayer, more church, more family. Those are the things that God would have you to focus on. If you want there to be a change in your life, a change in how you're living, a change in the blessings, a change in your joy, change in your walk with God, if you keep doing the same thing, you're not going to experience change. But if you maybe add a little more Bible study, add a little more prayer, add a little more church, add a little more family. And not only do you add, but maybe take away. What are you going to take away? Everything else. Or whatever hinders what you need to add. Whatever hinders your walk with God needs to be taken away. Now, that's not saying that I can't have recreation, I can't have this. Yeah, you can, because sometimes you have to have that to be able to be all that you can be in the other. I'm just saying that God, if you want something different, you got to make some changes. Don't expect for it to be anything different if you continue to do the same things. And the influences that you allow into your heart, into your life, will definitely affect you. So you have to get rid of those things that hinder your walk with God and add to the things that strengthen your walk with God. What's going to strengthen your walk with God? Bible, understanding, knowledge, prayer, church, family, things that God has established. So they come back and they said, no, we don't want to lose what we just got. And they seen some things that led to their downfall and said, we're going to get rid of these things. And we're going to add to the temple ministries. We're going to get back into the law that God established. We're going to get back into observing the ordinances that God established for us. and they started making the changes. Verse 2, Hezekiah, then the Bible reveals to us, once they did this, and Hezekiah appointed the courses of the priests and the Levites after their courses, every man according to his service, the priests and the Levites, for burnt offerings and for peace offerings, to minister and to give thanks and to praise in the gates of the tents of the Lord. So Hezekiah now, as he's led them to do this, he sees them going back into the cities of Judah. He sees that they are tearing down all the evil. They're wanting to get rid of the evil because they want a closer walk with God. Then Hezekiah, the king of the land, and now he starts presenting the leadership of the land, and he so starts focusing on the need of the people. And you focus on the need of the people by the leaders that are in every city and in every area and leading them and experiencing and witnessing to them and giving them example to follow. He appointed the leaders once again to serve. He got the priests and the Levites. All the priests were Levites, and all the Levites were priests, but the Levites would be that priestly tribe that would have the responsibility of representing the Lord to the people. And so he gets these that have positions of meeting the needs of the people and bringing in the things of God to the people, and every man according to his service. There was different positions of service from the priests and also the Levites. And the priests and the Levites for burnt offerings and for peace offerings to minister. So they're getting back to serving, and by serving they are ministering. And as they minister, they give thanks as an example for the people to give God thanks and to give praise as an example to the people to give God praise in the gates of the tents of the Lord. That's a powerful verse right there. He appointed the leaders to serve the people. It's not a coincidence. That's what made America great. They appointed leaders that was supposed to serve the people. They established a government that was supposed to serve the people. And we've lost sight of that. Most politicians today, sad to say, are serving themselves. And the government today, my goodness, if you can't see that. That's not the plan that God has for a great nation. God's plan for a great nation is for the people to look to God, and the people placed in positions of office to serve. This was God's design for their positions. Paul understood that. Acts chapter 20. Everybody with me tonight. Praise the Lord. Acts chapter 20, during the apostolic age, the apostles were following Jesus, the example of Christ, and they were giving an example to those who would follow them in the first century church, second century, all the way till the Lord returns. But they were there to give an example, and they were there to help the pastors of the churches to realize their positions as a servant. And Paul here in Ephesus, before he would leave and go to Rome, he brought all the pastors together, and this is what he says in Acts in chapter 20, verse 27. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Now he's talking to the preachers here, all the different ones he brought together, and he said, this is what I've done, and you're to follow this, and the people need all the counsel of God. Take heed therefore unto yourselves, and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers. You have a position. You have a position that God has established in the New Testament church as a pastor. And he's telling all these preachers right here, he says, don't keep from declaring all the counsel of God. Don't stop preaching the things that are not popular or that are unpopular. Preach the word just exactly as I presented it. And then take heed, therefore, to yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God. The most important thing that I do as a pastor is I feed the church of God. I preach the word of God. I counsel the word of God. That is the most important thing that I can do for the congregation. I can only counsel so many. I can only personally serve so many. But I can preach to the multitudes. I can make sure that I've got the message that God has for the church. Every time I get up here to speak, every time I get up here to preach, I need to make sure that what I am presenting is what the church needs. And it needs the full counsel of God. And so, this is how it was established. This is how Jesus established, and the apostles are now directing the others, and Paul here directing the pastors there in Ephesus. And he says to them, the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. Never lose sight of that. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember, in the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. So Paul is presenting that just keep preaching the word and watching over the flock. In verse 29, he said this, "For I know that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock." Let's stay on track. Let's stay on the track that God has established for us. So that's what Hezekiah was doing. The same format. He addressed the priests and the Levites, and he said, you have a position, fill the position the way God established the position. Serve the people. Back over in our text, go back there with me. And then we have chapter 31, verse 5 down to 19. We're going to get through chapter 31 here tonight. But chapter 31, verses 5 through 19. You know what happened when the people tore down all the groves and got rid of all the false influences, and when they started being ministered to by the priests and the Levites, and they had the king that was supporting what was taking place, the people began to give. Verse 5, the Bible says this, "And as soon as the commandment came abroad, the children of Israel brought in abundance the first fruits of corn and wine and oil and honey and all the increase of the field, and the tithe of all things brought they in abundantly." And it goes on down there in chapter 31, verse 5 to 19. It talks about how they would give, because that's what supported the priests and the Levites to do the job that God called them to do. That's what kept the nation of Israel, Judah, strong. Keep the storehouse strong, and you keep the nation strong. If you allow the storehouse to be destroyed, the nation will follow. The storehouse is the local New Testament church today. You keep the church strong, you'll have the blessings of God. You start attacking the church, society will fall apart. Malachi chapter 3, and you know the verse. Let me just read it to you, but it fits right in right here. This is what's taking place. They got out later on, they rebelled once again. They were taken into captivity because they failed to do all the things that they have learning to do under Hezekiah, and that seems to happen whenever the servant of God passes off the scene. But Malachi chapter 3, and verse 10, it says this, "Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house." Got to make sure it's not the preacher's house, it's not the congregation's house, it's God's house. This church, if we're going to have God's blessings, we've got to acknowledge him. And he's represented by his word, this Bible that we have before us here. And as a preacher, I am dedicated to preaching the word of God, because that's the position that God established for the pastor. to feed the flock of God. Bring all the tithes to the storehouse, and there may be meat in mine house, and prove me here now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, that if I will not open you windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, and there shall not be room enough to receive it. You want the blessings of God restored upon the nation, then the nation has to turn back to God. Yeah. They begin to give. The storehouse becomes strong. Praise the Lord. All we do is what God would have us to do. And God has so blessed this church. People want to give to that which they know is following God. And it's my part to do what God would have me to do. And that's part of some of the changes, maybe. Want the blessings of God, then do what God commands us to do. Don't think you can continue to do the same things and draw closer to God. No, not going to happen. And then if you go back, chapter 31, we're going to close here with verse 20 and verse 21. Just a few thoughts here because they're very powerful. Hezekiah's testimony is presented here. Now the nation of Judah is back. They tore down, got rid of all the influence, the evil influences in the cities. They're back to worshiping God. They're back to preaching the word. They're back to observing the law and observing the ordinance and everything. And they're giving as God would have them to give. And the storehouse is being strengthened in Judah. That's God's plans, because we're going to see in verse chapter 32 that Assyria comes. And next Wednesday night, we'll be looking at that. Sennacherib came. There's always going to be a battle to be fought. But God prepares his church for the battle. The church is being prepared. Judah is being prepared. And we have the testimony that God gives us of Hezekiah. Verse 20. And thus did Hezekiah throughout all Judah, and wrought that which was good and right and truth before the Lord his God. He looked to God to determine what would be, I love these three words, good, right, and truth. His motivation was in these three things. And these three things are connected. What's good is what's right. And what's right is truth. And you can put them any way. If you want, put right first. What's right is truth, and what's truth is good. Or if you want to put with truth first, what's true is good, and what's good is right. I love that good, right, and truth, they all come together, and yet that's exactly what we need to look to. We serve a good God. He's always good. We serve a righteous God. He's always right. We serve a God of truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Is that what is those three things what we look at in our lives? Is that what motivates us? You got to know the truth to know how to let it motivate you. To apply it in what's true and to apply it in what's right. That was Hezekiah. And they knew that about him. He wrought that which was good and right and truth before the Lord his God. Didn't worry about what other people thought was right. He knew what God determined that was right, based on God's truths. And whatever is based on God's truth is not only right, it's good. You can't get any better than that. And then verse 21. and in every work that he began in the service of the house of God, and in the law, and in the commandments. These are things he turned him back to. These are things that the nation of Judah kept the nation of Judah out of Assyrian captivity. The service of the house, and the law, and in the commandments, to seek his God. And he did it. We know what motivated him. And he did it with all his heart and prospered. His motive was truth, right, and good. His commitment was to God and was done according to all his heart. Are we serving God with all of our hearts? Are we just putting in our time, punching the clock? When I worked in secular world, I know that there was both. There was those that they just couldn't wait until it turned a certain time, punch the clock, and they're done. They wouldn't come in until time to have to punch the clock. Between the time of punching the clock in and punching clock out, they just got by. I feel like sometimes that's Christianity today. That's punching the clock. Sometimes you feel like in the ministry, some just are punching the clock. I got to realize that my clock's coming to an end. I can't just physically, mentally, it's possible for me to do the same things, but what I have left, I want to do more than just punch the clock. I probably put more time into preparing sermons now than I ever have. Spending more time with the Lord and making sure that I'm ready to preach what he has for the congregation than I ever had. I will never stop doing that as long as I'm able to get behind this podium and preach. Before I get behind this podium, I have to be convinced that I have God's message for God's people. I pray that prayer. I ask God to use me. Might not be able to do a lot of the other things, and I'm limited, but as long as God allows me to, if I'm going to preach the word, I understand the importance of it. I understand that it's God's tool to change lives. It's what God has chosen. The foolishness, the world thinks it's foolish, but it's the power of God, and it can change lives, because when you come under the preaching of the Word of God, the Holy Spirit of God empowers it, and then the Holy Spirit of God bears witness with your spirit, and he convicts your heart, give you an opportunity to make a decision that'll change your life. That's powerful stuff. Hezekiah was there. Did it with all of his heart. I believe David was a man after God's own heart. I think he gave his heart. I think Solomon, when he was right with God, that's what he understood and what he got from his father, David. Put your heart into it. Is our heart into our service to God? We all have different positions of service, but all of us have a service. Is my heart in it? If my heart's in it, I think this last thing will take place and prospered. Had God's blessings. If you want God's blessings, put your heart into it. Make whatever changes need to be made. Don't just think you can stay the same. Ask God what you should add to and what you should take away, but be ready to make the changes that God wants you to make to draw as close to him as we can. They would need to be walking close to God for what's getting ready to happen, and the coming of Sennacherib. But at this point, God had prepared them. In our lives, we never know what a day may bring. But if you're looking to God, He will prepare you for whatever you have to face. If I could have every head bowed this evening. You want to be ready for whatever a day may bring? Make some changes that'll draw you closer to God. Don't just put in the time. Just don't punch the clock, but sincerely look to the Lord and do whatever it is He wants you to do. Father, we bow before You tonight. Love You and thank You, Lord God, for the truth and this testimony and this example of King Hezekiah. And God, we know how You use this example to save Judah from Assyrian captivity, and we know all that, and yet there's so much more for us to learn and to draw from it. And I pray and I trust tonight we would have been able to receive, and we will be able to make application of what You had for us tonight. Bless in the invitation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.